You know, the cycle of poverty is a system that's built to keep people poor. And through community action, bonding together, we can actually start to tackle those systems and break down the barriers that people have to getting out of poverty.
Hello, and welcome to Revolutionary Women. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. Tegan Vaughan is a fundraising officer at St. Paul's Youth Forum in Glasgow, Scotland, and a 2025 Time to Shine leader with the Rank Foundation. Tegan specializes in fundraising strategy, social media management, and welfare consultancy. Her work focuses on alleviating poverty and strengthening community resilience through initiatives that promote well-being and healthy living. She is passionate about social impact and equity with a focus on health policy, immigration studies, and post-colonial theory. Hi, Tegan. Welcome to Revolutionary Woman. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Okay, so let's get started. So you grew up on Long Island, New York, until mm-hmm. the age of 13. What was that like growing up for you on Long Island?
It was really interesting place to have your formative years in. So I saw really substantial wealth inequality because some of my peers were in the top 1% of the country's wealth. Mm-hmm. And then some of my peers relied on food stamps to have their lunch at school. Uh-huh. And in my neighborhood specifically, we saw a lot of frequent gang violence, drug raids, houses were foreclosed frequently.
Wow.
Shops closed all the time. But then we'd go into these really affluent areas with, you know, $1 million houses and designer shops and stuff. So it was just very, I always thought that that kind of difference was normal because that's what I grew up seeing all the time. And then as I kind of matured a bit, I realized that, you know, that isn't how the world should work and that isn't how neighborhoods should be. You shouldn't have to, you know, cross a border and end up in a completely different universe than the one that you were just in. So my family is Unitarian Universalist, so we're really passionate about volunteer work and harm reduction. So throughout my childhood, we travel into the city and to New York City to work at soup kitchens. And we would do drives to pack overnight bags for unhoused people at the local community center.
That's awesome. Okay. And so then you moved, you and your family moved to Florida in 2017. Mm-hmm. What was the reason for moving to Florida?
So we had seen, obviously, in our neighborhood in New York, there was a lot of, it felt quite dangerous at times. So we were kind of on a family holiday down, I think maybe a couple years before. We kind of got roped into this, like, oh, what it would be so beautiful to live in Florida. These areas are so well-developed and gorgeous, and there's, it's so new. Taxes are lower, and just experience a bit more of a calm period after the stress of living in, especially for my parents, working in Manhattan.
Right.
And it was also to do with the kind of health aspect of it, because it is warm year round. Uh-huh. It's a lot easier for, my mom has really severe asthma. So we would, you know, during the cold months, and even just for us, we would get sick, you know, and during the winter all the time.
Yeah.
And in Florida, you kind of get that, like, the warm air. So yeah, there were a lot of factors going into it.
Okay. It's funny you mentioned that because I moved also. I mean, from New York and moved to Virginia Beach 5 years ago because I just couldn't take the cold anymore. I was like, okay, I'm done. I was like, I and, you know, getting sick was definitely, like, you know, a big factor. It's like I never felt like I was ever getting well. Every time I got sick, it would take more than a couple of weeks to get better. And I'm like,
absolutely.
You know, I was done. So, okay. So you went to high school in Florida, but then you went to college in Glasgow, Scotland.
Yes.
Can you tell me what attracted you to Glasgow?
Well, so during my college search, I didn't really feel passionate about any specific school. None of them were popping out to me as like a dream school. I think part of that was the money aspect of, you know, how expensive it is to go to college in the U.S. unless you're going to a state school. But I didn't want to stay in Florida. And So my college advisor at the time actually used to work for the University of Glasgow. And so when I was going to our meetings and I was like, I just can't find anything that I like, or I like this school, but it's so expensive, I don't want to be in debt for the rest of my life. And,
right.
You know, all of those factors that go into it, or they don't have the program that I specifically want.
Right.
She kind of opened up this world of, well, you could apply to UK universities. And then I went through a whole deep dive of all the schools, and in I applied mostly to schools in Scotland. But Glasgow University was always my top choice. There's just something about the campus was so beautiful. They had the sociology and theater studies program that I really wanted to do. They also, they don't do general education courses in college. So when you're doing a major, you do that major.
Really?
So, yeah. So my classes were just sociology and theater. And then you could do, when you got into your third year, you did kind of more specific, specialized ones that you could choose through the curriculum. But it was always, you could do one extra, like almost like a minor kind of in your first 2 years. But it could be anything that you wanted to do. So I did the Celtic civilizations and then Scottish literature alongside. And then the money aspect as well. It was so much more affordable, even with the visa fees and the moving fees and the international tuition fees than to go to the other schools like in New York that I was looking at.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned you studied sociology and theater. What was the draw studying both?
Well, so I was really passionate about theater as an activity in high school. It was just the thing that I felt most comfortable doing. And it was something, it was what I looked forward to every week, like going to my theater rehearsals. Then sociology was, history and English and like government studies have always been my favorite classes. So I ended up learning about what it was, and it just really appealed to me to kind of try and like dissect what makes society the way that it is. So I just thought that was really interesting. And then that combination with theater, I had always envisioned it kind of turning into, then later I would go on to do a law degree, and that kind of theatrical aspect of being able to perform to people and persuade people. And then you have the sociology backing of knowing how they're, why they're reacting the way that they are, why systems are in place the way that they are.
Okay, that's so interesting.
What drew me to it.
Wow. Okay, so you finished university and decided to stay there afterwards. What has been the biggest difference for you living in Scotland as opposed to living in the States?
It's a lot easier to live in Scotland. The way that their society is set up, because I feel like a lot of times in America, you're always kind of on guard all the time, whether it be physical or personal safety, but also just, you know, extra hidden fees somewhere, or like you break a bone, you know that you're going to have to pay thousands of dollars to deal with it, or just the additional costs of, you know, health insurance on top of the really high housing prices. So none of that really happens in Scotland. If I were to break my bone tomorrow, I could go to the hospital. And there are obviously issues with wait times and the weight on the NHS at the moment. But at the end of the day, you know that you can go to the doctor. And at the end of the day, you also know that you have tenancy rights in your housing, which are very legally protected. So yeah, it's just easier. And you can, in Glasgow specifically, you can get the bus from one end of the city to the other. I mean, it might take you like an hour, but you could still, it's £5 and you can get a bus to anywhere in the city. So
that's so interesting. Okay, so let's go back a little bit to when you were talking about if something happened to you physically, you could go to the hospital. Is it socialized medicine, or is it... It is. Okay. I mean, that's amazing, I think, because, you know, you don't have to worry that. Is it covered by the government then if you go in?
Yeah. So it's part of your taxes go towards NHS services. And then in Scotland as well, because there are different specific policies between like Scotland and England, or Wales, Northern Ireland. But in Scotland specifically, prescriptions are subsidized. So you get your prescription, whatever it is, for free.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't pay for a prescription, which was when I first moved there, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I got a prescription, I think like antibiotics for something. Mm-hmm. And I went up to the chemist and he was like, okay, here's your prescription. And then I was like, okay, how much is it? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, how much does it cost? Yeah. And he was like, well, nothing. And I couldn't understand that happening. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, that's wild. Mm. Oh my gosh. It's like, okay, definitely not like the States. No. Yeah, it's funny you said that because my daughter Shayna, as you know, went to Italy a few years ago, and she too, one of those days that she was there, got sick and she had to get antibiotics, and she said the same thing. I'm like, huh, you mean it's covered? I'm like, yeah. I don't have to, like, really? I was like, okay. So different. Gives one pause for thought. All right, so Tegan, you are the fundraising officer for St. Paul's Youth Forum in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what St. Paul's Youth Forum is about and why did you want to work for them?
So St. Paul's Youth Forum started in 1997 as local youth workers and community members' response to the epidemic of antisocial behavior and specifically youth gang violence in the Provenmill Black Hill community. So that's northeast Glasgow. The East End experiences a lot of deprivation, and the Northeast experiences kind of a centralized location of that deprivation. It's not able to really access the city center. The public transport's really poor. Wow. The job opportunities are poor. Mm-hmm. You have to walk a mile and a half to get to the nearest grocery store, which a lot of people can't do.
Wow.
So there's a lot of layers to it. So our organization officially registered as a charity about 15 years later, after forming as a collective, and since then developed an even wider array of programs that alleviate the symptoms of poverty for people of all ages now.
Awesome.
So we work through four spheres to target the multiple deprivations that people experience in this area. Mm-hmm. So Black Hills Growing tackles the harsh realities of the local food desert through dignified food access. So we provide free or affordable, healthy, locally grown produce, community meals. We have a food pantry that offers shops for £2.50, and you can get, you know, people walk away with three full carrier bags of their weekly shops. And yes, we're through that ensuring that over 100 people per week can eat well, no matter what their financial circumstances. We try to do it as well that anyone who needs it can come. We're not checking like income or unemployment. If you need it, you come and you get it. So it creates a kind of more equitable layer for everyone. And then our next sphere, On Bikes, fights transport inequality, opening access to independent and active travel through cycling. So we offer free bikes, repairs to children and adults. We also have a few shops and hubs throughout different areas of Glasgow that offer affordable options and accessible suited bikes as well, enabling people to travel freely and sustainably, no matter their physical abilities. And then our youth work, which was how we began, of course, so that transformed our local landscape. It reduced local crime rates by 97% over a 10-year period.
Oh my gosh.
It's a completely changed place. There's always going to be work done, but when I hear the stories of people that grew up in that area or was working in that area in the late 90s and early 2000s, it's a completely different place. So we offer young people a free welcoming space to connect and grow and just to build their skills through training, volunteering with us, or just hanging out in one of the youth areas, playing pool, taking part in our clubs. Wow. And then our last one, which is kind of our biggest, most ambitious project that we've accomplished over the past couple years, was reopening the Mullendiner Community Center. That used to be owned by one of the arms of the council. And then it closed during COVID. So it was just kind of this empty space that wasn't getting used for anything. And then in 2023, St. Paul's Youth Forum took it over. And now it's a vibrant hub that offers a wide range of resources for well-being and opportunity for people, again, of all ages. Mm-hmm. We host employability and education courses, peer support groups for those living with addiction or poor mental health, and a variety of children's clubs. And then in the Mullen Diner Community Center, we have Molly's Diner, the cafe. That offers free tea, free coffee, free soup. And we have a low-cost menu to break financial barriers to anyone just wanting a cup or a lunch with their friends. So it's really beautiful space that reduces feelings of isolation and strengthens the kind of sense of community in this area.
So what was your aha moment when you thought you wanted to work for St. Paul's Youth Forum?
When I completed my studies, I really wanted to find something that I would be passionate about. I didn't want to just end up in a job that I disliked or didn't feel passionate about, because I wanted to really use the knowledge that I had gained in my studies. Right. And I've always been really passionate about community work. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, I volunteered quite often growing up.
Right.
Feeling once I had seen the job listing for it, I kind of researched all of the incredible things that they've accomplished. Mm-hmm. Because I had never really heard of them before, even though I live it's like a half an hour walk down the road or a 10-minute bus ride down the road. But then I realized that all these different programs that they have kind of across in Glasgow, I had actually worked with before, but they didn't really have the name, like brand awareness. But anyway, so in my sociology classes, we really often talked about the multiple deprivations in Scotland and especially in Glasgow. Like we would have full courses about the Glasgow effect, which is the city experiences excess mortality rates. That's compared to other similar cities in the UK, like Liverpool and Manchester, but people die at this like excess rate from different chronic health conditions or drug and alcohol use.
Okay.
With this knowledge going into my job search and learning about the things that St. Paul's Youth Forum did and was wanting to do in the future, I just knew that I really wanted to be a part of it. And I was so, so excited when I had even just gotten the interview and I could come down to the community center, met my colleagues. And then, when they offered me the job, it was just a really brilliant moment.
That's amazing. Since its inception, how has the community responded? And are you finding that the programs are inspiring the community to keep doing what they're doing and even more?
Yes, definitely. I have seen so many, even just in the year that I've worked here so far, there are people that I met at the beginning of the year who were struggling with addiction or felt really lonely and didn't really have many friends. Or there were a lot of kids, and there still are, but we are working to lower that numbers. There's children who are chronic non-attenders of school. In the case of students not attending school or not performing well in school and just feeling really dissatisfied with education and disillusioned for, they don't have the passion to learn because of the kind of system of schooling, they need something a bit more, they need more encouragement for it. And they're also dealing with things at home and obviously experiencing poverty in their community. So one of the programs that I got funding for and put together was a breakfast club. So we could take 30 kids every morning, Monday through Friday. None of them pay any money at all. And they can come in for 45 minutes and just have breakfast and play with their friends. And it was one of those programs where it's like, yeah, this will be good and it'll help, get the kids breakfast and stuff. But over the past couple of months, I've been speaking to some of the parents because this started in August of this year, and even just some of the other kids, that not only are they able to get breakfast and they're more awake in school and performing better, but it also lets the parents take on more hours at work or find work because it just makes their morning routine so much easier. And we walk the kids to school as well. Like 7:30 in the morning, they can drop their kids off. And then parents who need to start a job at 8 or 9 o'clock in the city center, they're able to have that kind of breathing room for it. And I've seen some of the parents be able to find more security in their work situations. So even just programs like that, like you don't realize the kind of knock-on effect that that can have.
Yeah.
But now that we know what it can do,
yeah,
we're going to keep doing it for as long as we can.
Wow. Now, where do you get your funding from?
It is a range of government grants, local council grants, and then trusts and foundations. So that specific one was a government grant.
Okay.
That was a Breakfast Club program that they were carrying out across the UK.
That's wonderful.
Or across Scotland, sorry. Uh-huh. But there is also, this year was one of the roughest years for fundraising, especially for trusts and foundation grants, people who rely on those.
Huh. I read a story that, were you about a young volunteer at your at the youth forum and about a trike and how you and your team helped him. Can you share that story? And I mean, it changed his life. So can you share that story with me?
Yeah, of course. With our bikes team, we do have a lot of volunteers that come in. And one of them is this young kid. He was volunteering at our shop and helping with some of the bike repairs. And he's experienced a lot of health issues throughout his life. He had a stroke at the age of 2.
Oh my gosh.
And a few other things have happened since then. And he recently, as of this year, got the diagnosis that only half of the chambers in his heart operate.
Oh, wow.
And
how old is he?
Yeah. He is 19.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So obviously with that, finding work is quite difficult. And so he's been volunteering with us because we obviously understand the situation that he's in. And following his diagnosis, he was told that in order to make sure that he can stay healthy, he needs to be active to keep his heart okay.
Right.
But with someone who has really limited mobility following his stroke, he doesn't really have the same options to stay active as someone else would. And so our bike team realized that we could help him. And so we created this project of a personally fitted trike that has a specific pedal that one side of it can just move with the one that he can push with the side of his body that does move more easily. Yeah, so it would just be completely suited to his needs. And he would also then be able to travel on his own because before this, he was reliant on his family members driving him to and from his volunteering sessions, which was affecting his parents' job situation. It was affecting their relationship. It was affecting how far he could get to certain places because he was working on someone else's time schedule. This would not only keep him healthy, but it would also open up so many more avenues of work and enrichment, and even just meeting friends. He could just meet a friend whenever he wanted to, which is something that he was never able to really experience before.
That's so cool.
It was a relatively easy application, but then the process of this very specific project, we had to have the trike model completely designed and sent off to someone who could produce it for us. We had to get a quote for that. We had to convert that quote into pounds. We had to get a lot of financial documents together, all of our governance documents. So that was kind of the aspect of it that I handled, doing the administration of the project and discussing it with the fund managers at Cycling UK. But then the bikes team really handled the actual design of what this would look like and where we could get it from.
Wow. So since then, has this been proved for St. Paul's Youth Forum to actually get it made for others in the community who need that sort of trike?
We've only just got that application approved for that one specific trike, but now that we have that model approved, we can use it because in one of our bike shops, we do have adaptive models. So one of our regular visitors, he does not have arms. So to hold, obviously to ride a bike, you usually need to be able to hold the handles.
Right.
But they've designed a bike for him that can balance and still move with the movements of his lower body. So that kind of thing. Or people with limited mobility of their legs, they can pedal with their hands. Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I think in the future, having the project built for the young person who volunteers with us, we will be able to carry that through for other people who would support.
Wow. Okay. So how has working at St. Paul's Youth Forum changed the way you look at the world?
It has definitely opened my eyes to an entirely different world. So I was completely new to charity work. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even worked in an office before. Mm-hmm. I worked in hospitality for, 3 years while I was doing my studies. So every single part of learning how to write persuasive fundraising grants, collect data across the 20 years of service the St. Paul's Youth Forum has done, and getting to know a community I didn't grow up in, it needed so much learning, but it's really changed the way that I experience a workplace, and it's kind of up the standards of what I expect any other future workplaces to be, because it was the community sense of it. I could come into work and not only could I leave knowing that I was helping people, but I also had people that I could lean on, that was like new friends that I've made, but it was in the community that we were working with, because everything was so intermingled. But then it's also, seeing and hearing some of the stories in my time at St. Paul's, there are so many people who need help. And sometimes, even in Scotland, they can't get that help. And so many systems are in place to keep people in situations that are really, like, it's just difficult to get out of poverty. Just so cyclical. And it's just made me feel even more strongly about trying to eradicate those cycles.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, Tegan, who would you credit for where you are now?
I would 100% credit my parents for where I am right now. It's not a one-man job to move to a completely new country and continent. And they've worked tirelessly throughout my entire life to make sure that I was receiving a good education and I could reach for my potential and aim high. And my brother's schoolwork, extracurriculars, and our volunteering experience especially was their highest priority at all times. And without that, especially the volunteering experience, they encouraged and took us to experience. I wouldn't have learned about the world the way that I did. And when I told them about my dream to move to Scotland and to move to Glasgow, they were so completely supportive and they did everything that they could to make sure that it happened, because they knew that it was something I felt that I needed to do.
Right.
And staying in Glasgow, they've been 100% supportive of and really helped me. And I know that I have them to rely on if, things get tough, living 4,000 miles away. Absolutely, my parents.
That's awesome. Okay, so what's next for Tegan?
I don't actually know. So I'm in a kind of calm before the storm period. So my visa and my job position may be changing in the upcoming year. So there are things that I hope will be happening in the future. I hope that I can stay supporting the community and changing lives and, keeping people safe and well-fed and active. But where I will be doing that is still to be decided.
Okay.
But whatever happens, I know I'm going to have my family, my friends in Glasgow back home, and my colleagues at St. Paul's Youth Forum to support me in whatever happens.
Okay. And what's next for the community you're involved in?
Well, so I hope that the next steps for St. Paul's Youth Forum will be to build a strong and reliable donor base that allows us to continue our programs without the limitations of grant applications. So I created a 5-year fundraising strategy that takes us from 2026 to 2031, kind of mapping out ways that we can become self-sufficient and less reliant on restricted funding and can really expand our programs or specialize in new things. Most importantly, just keep doing what we're doing. So I hope that in the next 5 years, we'll see even more people taking on for their education and employment, more people accessing nutritional meals, and just a healthier generation in Glasgow's Northeast.
So if anyone wanted to know more about you and St. Paul's Youth Forum, how would they go about it?
So you can learn everything from the history to what we're doing right now, everything on the St. Paul's Youth Forum website. So that's spyf.org.uk. And we have our social media pages that you can learn about what we're doing. And if anyone is based in Glasgow, you can learn and make a difference by volunteering with us. We, you know, need support in everything from social media work to getting your hands dirty in the garden, to helping out in the cafe. We have also got some young people's clubs can take part in to see exactly what we're doing. So I would say just look out for any of our posts on social media, take a look at our website. And if you're based in Glasgow, see what you can help out with.
Wonderful. Okay. Is there anything you would like to say to my listeners?
I would say thanks for listening to me. And I just hope that wherever you are, you're thinking about, or you already know and you're already doing things that can support community organizations in your area. There are some really disconcerting narratives in the media right now about people experiencing poverty. And, you know, the cycle of poverty is a system that's it's built to keep people poor. And through community action, bonding together, we can actually start to tackle those systems and break down the barriers that people have to getting out of poverty. I always say, like, everyone is just one bad day away from losing everything and being in that same situation. So just be kind and support the people who don't have the fortune of stability or support.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, it is. You're only one paycheck away from losing. And that's something to really think about. So
Absolutely.
Thank you for that. So if you had one thing to change that you wish you had done years ago, would there be one?
Yeah, I think I would have, during my studies, I would have liked to have tried to intern more and gain a bit more professional experience early on. So I worked part-time throughout my studies, and I stayed in Glasgow over Christmas and summer breaks to work full-time. And so that kind of limited the amount of volunteering that I could do during my studies because I was working all the time. And I know that working in hospitality, it did grow my skill set, especially like interpersonal and, you know, customer service is important to build confidence. But I just wish that I had prioritized work that aligned with my studies more. But I'm really glad that I can transfer what I have learned into the job that I'm doing now. So
for sure. I mean, you know, everything happens for a reason, right?
So
you are where you are now because of what you've been through. So my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would tell my younger self just to chill out and just take a breath. Nothing is as deep as it feels. Step back from the social and work stress. Recognize how privileged you are to be living in Glasgow with people who care about you, and you know, you lived the dream that you had. Don't get so worried about you know, something that happens on a bar shift. It's not that important. And just stop leaving your assignments to the last minute because it's just unnecessary stress.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, Tegan, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your life and your work with me. I love what you're doing for St. Paul's with St. Paul's Youth Forum. And I am so glad that I, you know, I looked you up on LinkedIn and I literally like texted your mom. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Do you think she'll want to talk to me? She says, are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, it is an honor.
Oh my gosh. Well, what you're doing is so amazing and helping these communities that definitely, that, you know, are getting so much out of St. Paul's Youth Forum, you know, and you're helping them out by making sure that they those programs keep going.
Definitely.
I feel so warm that, you know, that I know you and I know your family. And it's great to see a young person that I've known to grow up into such an amazing adult.
Thank you so much.
And who's giving so much out in the world. So thank you. And keep doing it. Holy cow. I can't wait to see where you go next, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, your passion is going to take you anywhere that you want. So keep doing it. And, you know, if you have any other things going on in the future, please let me know. I would love to keep up with you. And I commend you to being out there in the world and just making sure that people, especially children, you know, get taken care of.
Definitely.
Because that's the future, right? You know, so we need to take care of them. Thank you again. And I will keep in touch. And with that, have a great rest of the day.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're so welcome. All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye. That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Tegan Vaughn on revwoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break from being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.